give God thanks for this sanctuary, its first planners and its caretakers since.
We follow God's mission with Christ as head of the church.
Let us, with renewed commitment, give thanks for what has been and what will be. Let us worship God, who makes all things possible.
Please stay standing as we sing our opening hymn, Open the Eyes of My Heart. We sang this last Guitar Sunday. I thought I'd bring it back. You really don't need the screen. You barely need to look down. The lyrics will come pretty naturally. Meeting. I met with Mickey and Cole before I went. Been thinking about money all week. Three wonderful new people joining our church today. I forgot to write a children's message. So this is what we call a children's message on the fly. Charlotte, you got any favorites? Greatest hits?
The one
Yeah, so Charlotte was really young, about 3 years old only, she said to me, "Mom, Jesus was born, then Jesus died, and then Jesus was alive again." And I thought, oh my gosh, she's 3 years old. She's got it. It's the whole story. And then she said, and then he died again. And then he was born again. And then he died. What? Is he dead or alive? And she had pieced together all of the times that she had heard the story, not as the same story being repeated, but one continual story. That is theologically correct. That is how we live our life. We continually experience a series of deaths and rebirths and being born again. A door closes, another opens. That is our life. It's a mess. It's never linear. But that is also the beauty with which God enters into that mess, continually saying yes to the no's of our life, continually bringing to life that which we thought was dead. And for that, we are truly grateful, because out of the mouths of babes comes truth. And all the people said,
amen.
Please join me in the unison prayer of wholeness and healing as printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, we hold on. We hold on to visions with hope, but we assume others will make it happen. We hold on to our time. We hold on to our resources. We hold on to our money. Help us to remember that to live into hope means to participate in the process. To live into vision means to create together. To create together means to participate in the work of the church. Human beings have no higher goal in life than to glorify and enjoy God now and forever. Help us this day to renew our commitment to the work of the church. We continue now in silence. Good people of God's, we are a whole people with goodness and with faults. We are freely forgiven, unmerited and unearned. We receive the grace of Christ who forgives us when we fall short. And isn't it good? Amen.
Thank you.
the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than they are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with a dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lynn. Hey, Dominic, are the microphones working, or is it just the screen that's not working? Just the projector. So can you turn my mic up to maybe a little bit? Thank you. So before we pray, I just want to let you know that in all of my reading and research on this scripture today, there's not any agreement among the scholars. Nobody understands this passage. People rarely preach on it. It is extremely confusing. So that's my disclaimer. But what it does do is it brings us, it's certainly a scripture about our relationship with money. And because we are at that time of year where we are sitting down to decide what our pledges will be for the year, welcome to Stewardship Sunday. I didn't give you warning because I knew you wouldn't show up. So we're going to talk about money today and our relationship with it. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week I had a very interesting phone call from my friend Krista, who has been here. She came about a year ago, and she sang with Charlotte in worship for my birthday. It was a gift. Krista is one of my go-to people when I need some free therapy. We were talking on the phone about money. For the first time in my life, for a very long time, I can officially say that I am out of debt. And then I immediately continued that sentence to Krista by saying, and I'm so worried about my retirement. I have starting late, my career late. I have a lot to save up for. And she said, whoa, wait a minute. Not once in any of that was there any celebration or any thanksgiving for the sentence, you're out of debt. And I said, well, you know, I mean, I'm happy about that. Completely dismissing it. And then she went further. She said, listen, she's a sponsor for AA. She said, if you were a sponsee, what I would be telling you is that you clearly need to cultivate how all of the ways, all of the things that you have to celebrate. And here's one way of cultivating gratitude. She said, you need to court, C-O-U-R-T, court luck. Court luck. And I said, well, what do you mean by court? And she said, well, you know, in the same way that you court someone while you're dating, you take them out, you have an interest, you're attracted, you cultivate it, you come back to it, you step away, you evaluate, you come back to it some more. If you wanted to learn the guitar, you would court the guitar, you'd pick it up, you'd play it, you'd be with it, you'd cultivate that artistry, and you put it back. You need to court luck. And then I said, why luck? I never liked luck. I don't particularly enjoy the word. It seems to me an unfair way to live. Some are lucky, some aren't. And she said, you're overthinking it, try it. So I went for a walk that next morning, and I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. And I'm walking with the dog down on the Jean Stark Weather Trail over in front of Target, and I'm walking with Diego, and I think, I am so lucky I have legs that work. I am so lucky I can see the water. I am so lucky I can see that seal. I'm so lucky I can hear that foghorn you just heard. I can hear the waves crashing against the rocks. I'm so lucky I have a dog that looks up at me and says, "Isn't this fun? We're having a good time, right?" I'm so lucky. By the end of the walk, I decided to bow to God, although I disguised it as a yoga stretch so no one would think I was entirely crazy. And I just stretched over and I bowed to God, our Creator, and gave thanks for all of the blessings that I have in just one walk. And then I went home and I texted Krista and I said all of those things, and I ended with, "Aren't I lucky?" And then I realized the thing about luck that is so truly beautiful is that you can't do anything to earn it. I did nothing to earn the ability of any of that. They were true gifts, true blessings, true grace. And so that was a really lovely experience, and it got me thinking about where we are in the life of our church. We are courting a new vision. We met last Sunday, for those that don't know, and we created visions together. I see a full nursery. I see attendance doubled. I see more guitars. I see a fuller choir. I see. We're courting our own future in the church. We're attracted to it. We know what we want. We're playing with it. We're talking about it. We're courting it. And in that practice comes enormous gratitude. That's why we started with our strengths. We listed all the things that we are good at here at St. Luke. And the list was really long. But I think the thing that you're perhaps best at that you don't even recognize, for those that have been around a while, is keeping the church going through difficult times. Yesterday, I sat next to a woman who started a new call at a church in Santa Rosa. And she said, "Nicole, they don't know what they're doing. One pastor served for 10 years, and she did everything. Nobody knows what they're doing. She held the keys to the way that church worked. Nobody knew how to do anything because the pastor had done it unilaterally." And I thought to myself, aren't I lucky? I'm ministering to a church that knows how to keep things going when there is no pastor. What a gift that is. And those of you that have been around long enough, you're courting the church, but you're experiencing this courtship in a different way. It's a true courtship for our new members. But for those that have been here for 54 years or a little less, or 20 or 25, you're experiencing what I would refer to as a second love. The kind of love that comes after being married for quite a long time. The kind of love that comes from seeing the challenges of life, from not getting along, from not knowing where things are, from not knowing how to guide the children out of the house, for disagreements, the kind of love that comes years later where you're able to look at each other and say, aren't we lucky? That's a beautiful place to be. It's the theme of Harvest Moon, which you're going to hear Mickey and Cole sing later. I chose that song because it's a song about a second love. And it just so happens that I chose that song without knowing that we're in the middle of a harvest moon period right now. That's how God works. That's our God. I had no idea there was such a thing as a harvest moon when I chose that song. And here we are. It's a moon that kept farmers and their ability to harvest when the sun had gone down. An ability to harvest when the sun has gone down. That's the state of the greater church with a capital C. But we're doing okay. That's the good news, and aren't we lucky? Our attendance is up.
It's not where it was when it was in the 50s or the 60s, but we have life in this congregation. We have energy. We have people who are serving, and aren't we lucky? So we're courting, whether from a new member perspective or a second love perspective, we are courting our luck, our gratitude. We're cultivating all of those good things together. Now, we can't do any of it without money. People don't like to talk about money in the church. This is where synagogues really have it, in my opinion. They did it really. If you want to join, here's the bill. But there's the theology behind that. It's a reality. They're not afraid to talk about it. They don't skirt the issue. They don't gently tap on people's doors. This is the reality. We have an institution. My salary needs to be paid, Becky's, others, the lights, the heat, that's the reality. And this year, we're going to take it a step further because now we have a vision. We have a vision to court and to cultivate, and it takes money, and it takes time, and it takes resources. I can't tell you why the younger generation isn't giving as much as the older. That's a fact. People have done studies, statistics. I don't know the reason. I have guesses. The millennials are, you know, the baby boomers were a little bit more of the me generation. The greatest generation, as Tom Brokaw so eloquently designated, those people are used to existing for a cause, for something greater than themselves. They give their life, their time, their energy, and resources over to a cause that collectively joins people together of like minds, and they work together towards something greater than themselves. Doesn't that sound like the church? You're a like-minded people with different opinions, but that's part of the beauty. We have people who describe God one way very differently from another. We have people who take the Bible more literally. We have others that interpret metaphorically. Isn't that wonderful that in this church we exemplify what should be out in the world, which is a respect of our differences, a celebration of who we are in God and Christ? That's what brings us together. That's our greater cause. That's something worth giving into. That's something worth courting. And if you stay around long enough, you will, like Evelyn Hoffman, reap some of the benefits of that relationship. Like Harriet Grant, who when she was in the hospital, so many of you showed up and brought meals and enjoyed her company. That was hard for Harriet. She felt bad about that. I reminded her that she provided an opportunity for us to give. Now, Evelyn Hoffman surprised me and a lot of us by leaving a very large sum of money to the church. Are you ready? Drum roll. Evelyn left $100,000 to the church. I don't expect that from all of you. I have a feeling a lot of your children would be very upset if that something like that happened. But it's an opportunity, and I want to invite John Lenzer to come up and talk a little bit about what that gift from Evelyn has meant to us. We've discussed it at session. Want to talk just a little bit about that, and then I'll wrap it up after that.
Been doing this now for I think like 4 or 5 years, having this fundraising dinner. Now, I thought I would be clever when I started this a few years ago, and I said, well, we obviously can't just get $50 or $60 a person, so I said, we'll divide it up into two levels. And so I put in a little note that you got in the mail that we have four levels. And the highest level was a saint. You could be a saint for $1,000, an angel for $500, shepherd for $250, and a disciple for $100. Now, originally, I didn't have disciples. I put mere mortals. I thought, we're all mere mortals, you know? That's what we are. We're mere mortals. And I was shocked. I got a couple of phone calls saying, I thought I'm mere mortal. I changed it, so now you can be a disciple. You don't have to be a mere mortal. But $100 for a mere mortal, which actually you're a disciple, which just really covers the cost of the dinner for the most part, and a little bit more. For a while, we were hiring caterers, and the first time, you know, I got a real bad piece of chicken, and I said, you know, even I can cook better than that caterer. And so I rounded up some guys in the congregation, and we actually come together, about four of us, to do the cooking. And instead of putting the money into a caterer, we put it into the food. So suddenly we upgraded to filet mignon and salmon and really good food. And then we discovered that the Boy Scouts came out of the woodwork, and they came in, and they became our waiters and carried the food out. And this year again, on October 2nd, we're going to have that dinner. We'll have filet mignon, salmon, all kinds of good stuff. The Boy Scouts will make their peach cobbler. And it really is an opportunity for you to go a little extra, dig a little deeper, come to the dinner, enjoy yourself. We invite literally all our neighbors to San Pedro Cove, and we fill the table. It's pretty easy to do. You can bring a guest for $50, because I don't want to make money off of the guests. We cover our food costs by doing that, because bringing a guest is the bigger deal, actually. It introduces them to this congregation. So I encourage you to bring guests. You only have to charge $50 for it. So in any case, think about that. Now, the other way we make money at that dinner is with a silent auction. And Laura has thought very graciously, has volunteered to coordinate the silent auction again. And look at, she has forms that you can pick up. Now, some of you out there, I know, have cabins in the mountains. You can give away a week or a weekend, and people will pay big bucks. Now, one of the most important things was just having dinner at Cole's house. You know, people pay big bucks for that. Yeah. If you would like to cook a dinner and invite Nicole and have dinner with your pastor, we can do that. Or you can be a caterer. You can just do just about anything. We'll be happy to bid on those kinds of things. Some of you have rare bottles of wine sitting in your wine cellar that you probably will die with when the doctor tells you you can't drink wine anymore. So, in any case, think about bringing those rare bottles of wine, and we'll all bet on them and make a little extra money. So that's the really short term, is the dinner, and I look forward to seeing you all at the dinner, and I do have extra little cards. Now, you will also be getting, in the midterm, we have a budget for next year. That budget now ranges about $230,000 a year. That's what it takes to keep this church going. If you think about it, the pastor's salary, the salary of our music director, the office, on and on and on, it adds up. We get a PG&E bill just like you do, and it has to be paid. And we make a little money by renting out the sanctuary, but the bulk of the budget is really covered by the folks in this congregation. And the average pledge, just for your information's sake, is about $3,500 a year. That's the average. Now, everybody in this congregation has very different needs. There's some people who have been very blessed, and they have deep pockets, they have a certain amount of wealth, they've either earned it or inherited it for one reason or another. Top pledge in this congregation usually is somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000. We don't get a whole lot of those, but they're very helpful. And then there's other people who can give a couple of dollars a week. That's all that they can do. And that's fine, too. It's just important that everybody gives something within their means. That's all we're looking for. Those who can dig deeper, yes, we need that. Those who can. Paul mentioned, the bequest we received from Evelyn Hoffman. It did come as a surprise. That was really, really nice. And interestingly, we have a place to put it because we have a fund set up at the Marin Foundation. We interviewed about 4 years ago a number of places we could put bequests to create an endowment for St. Luke. And the first one we received was LaVon Reber. And she gave about $10,000 to the church, and we said, wow. Well, actually, she gave double that, but she wanted half of it to be used for current expenses and half to go into an endowment. You can specify. So half of it went for current expenses, the $10,000 went into the endowment, and that started our endowment. And we received another endowment from Marion Rossi. She put some money into that, and she passed away, and then the big cycle.
She's still here.
Pardon?
Marion's still here.
Oh, whoa. Where did I get that?
I don't know if she's in church, but she's
That's okay, John. That's all right. Yeah.
I will move on with my life.
Yeah.
I do better to give one of my life.
So, in any case, you can also give one of your life, too. But I have to say, it's really easy to do. You know, Marcia and I just happened to be meeting with our attorney reviewing our living trust the other day. And because of these bequests coming in, I said, we ought to do something, too. So we told our attorney what we wanted to do. It was easy to do. Bang, stuff. Think about it. A phone call to your attorney will get it done, and your children will not even miss it.
Thank you, John.
But in any case, think about that, because, you know, over time, when you do put money in for an endowment, the rule is you can only pay 5% out. Now, if we had an endowment of $2 or $3 or $4 million, and we were taking 5% out, that would be
thank you, Ed. Thank you. That's a good segue to the article that I sent you from the Wall Street Journal about people being happier when they have money in a savings account. The endowment is our savings account, so to speak. And so if you want to be happier as a church, it helps to give into that endowment to know that it's there to as a foundation, sort of keeping us safe. I want to close with a quote from Richard Rohr, who I've been following online every day. I get a meditation. He's really wonderful. If you've never heard of him, I highly suggest you look him up. He has what I call extremely good theology. He says, "The greatest dis-ease facing humanity right now is our profound and painful sense of disconnection. Disconnection from God, certainly, but also from ourselves, our bodies, our true selves, from each other, and from creation. We see this in political corruption, ecological devastation, war and violence, fearing and even hating each other because of our differences, whether race, religion, or sexual orientation. Our world needs to be reminded of our interdependence and our inherent union with what is. The church is meant to be an example of what is. The church is meant to be an example and a visible sign of God's grace in the world. What we do here is supposed to exemplify what's supposed to happen out there. Where else in your life do you go once a week to worship something greater than yourselves with people who love one another, share with one another, teach one another? Where else do you go and cultivate relationships so that when you end up sick, you know your church community is there for you? Where else do you go every week to be with a group of people who want to do something that takes them out of themselves and into some greater cause and greater purpose? Where in your world are you doing that on a weekly basis, if not at church? That's worth giving into. That's worth cultivating, and it's worth investing in your future through commitment, through time, and through your resources. And all the people said,
and we were down there the other night singing a song. And giving thanks for everything that we have for us.
And sorry, I emailed you that every song has a purpose this week. So this is that song about second love and experiencing the church in a second half of life as a love that you've seen through the ups and downs of life, and now you are harvesting all of the beauty that you gave in over the years. So
thank you.
Amen. We share our prayers, bringing our joys and our concerns before the people of God and before God, God's self. If you have a joy or a concern, please raise it now. Yes, Dennis.
He was only, you know, my age, and he left behind a family, so prayers for Ken.
Prayers for, what's his name?
Ken.
Ken and his family in this time. Yes, Daniel.
I'm here to help my roommate get out of jail. He has schizophrenia and he's bipolar, and he had a weekend that ended up being not a good week vacation here in this county. And I came to last week. See if they were going to release him. They decided no, they wouldn't. They would keep him until this Monday. I'm back again, and they're not even letting me visit him because he has to ask for the visits, but because of his mental state, he's not even able to
do that.
Get that done.
Prayers for Daniel's roommate as he battles schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, and prayers for you as well as we pray that he may have clarity long enough to ask for you, for Don. These prayers we lift up for Don. Yes, Jim. Prayers for all the people in New York as there was a bomb that went off on 23rd Street, I believe around 6th Avenue, and also another one that they found, and prayers for the fears of the people that live in that vicinity that they may trust and pull together during this time. Others, yes, Mayor. Prayers for Mimi as she's seeking alternative means to treat a cancer that is not responding to chemo. And prayers for you, Mary, and for all of us who all know someone who is battling cancer and other illnesses. And our prayers with all those people, and that we might find a cure for all of these diseases. And yes, Claude Genet. Yes, prayers for your wife. Tomorrow, a surgery in New York. Yes, and you're flying back to be with her. Good, that's great. Prayers for that surgery, that all goes well, and we'll be with you. Others, let us pray together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we lift up these prayers named out loud this morning, and also the prayers that we carry quietly in the privacy of our hearts. We pray that you stay close to those that are suffering today. And we give you thanks for all the many blessings in our lives. We do all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. And the glory forever. Let us bring our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.
Give a little.
I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little bit of my life for you. So give a little bit, give a little bit of your time to me. See the man with the lonely eyes. Oh, take his hand, you'll be surprised. Give a little bit, give a little bit of your love to me. Give a little bit, I'll give a little bit of my life to you. Now's the time that we need to share. So find yourself, you're on your way back home.
I'm going on home. Don't you need, don't you need to feel at home?
Come along too. What a long ride. You come a long way. Oh, just sing it tonight. Amen. It's what we do here. We give. We give a little bit. It's reciprocal. And I, at this time, would like to invite three very special people to come up as we welcome them into membership. So Babette and Skipper and Carlene and I had a really unorthodox new members class, didn't we? Come on up here. We had dinner in Babette and Larry's backyard. We sat outside. Babette's backyard looks like something out of Tuscany. I mean, it's like being in Europe. It's just beautiful. And we didn't waste any time. We sat down and we started talking deeply, didn't we? There was no small talk. Amen for that. And these three women decided they wanted to join together. And they knew for a long time that they wanted to join, but they also knew they wanted to do it together. I've been calling them the three amigos. And here you are today. And we are so grateful to be able to welcome you into this congregation. And so I hand it over to Dennis, our clerk of session.
Ms. Moderator, the session received the following persons into the membership of this congregation: Skipper Cummings, Babette Gettler, Carlene McCart.
Friends, as members of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. We welcome you to the worship and work of this people of God. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and parent of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ the Lord? If so, say, I do. We invite the congregation now to join in a congregational covenant, welcoming these people into the covenant of God within the church. Together with joy and thanksgiving, we welcome these new members into this congregation. We promise to love, encourage, So at our last new member gathering, I started a new ritual, and I know you're excited about this. The ritual was that I welcomed people into the tradition of a certain character of the Bible. And so it took me a lot of time because it was important to me. And Babette, I will start with you. So if you'll hand me a flower so I can give it to you after there, they thank you. So, okay. Babette, you are still grieving the death of your son. And I will be forever grateful to you for letting me in during what I imagine will prove to be the most difficult time of your life, of anyone's life. For I imagine it doesn't get any more difficult than the loss of a child. I say I imagine because I haven't been through it. But Mary has. Mary, Mother of Jesus, knows your heart, knows your grief, and knows your love. Mother Mary, in the Catholic tradition, is held as mother of us all, and I have always taken great comfort in connecting to God through a feminine face. And while God gave us Jesus Christ to follow in everything we do, I believe God gave us Mary to comfort us, to hold us, to stroke our heads in the middle of the night when we can't sleep, and to calm us when we as women feel misunderstood. And so it is in the tradition of Mary that we welcome you to St. Luke. And held in that tradition, I believe you to embody a similar warmth, a similar maternal embrace, a calmness and a sweetness that I see in you that we as a congregation will benefit from as we come to know each other, to grow with one another, all through the love of Christ. Welcome to the church. Carlene, there's another Mary in the Bible, Mary Magdalene, and for those of you who think she was a prostitute, you're wrong. I hate to burst that bubble of understanding, but if you do your Bible homework, scholars agree that there are so many Marys in the Bible that people have confused Mary Magdalene with another Mary who anoints Jesus' feet, who was a prostitute. What we do know about Mary Magdalene was that she was a leader, and she was so close to Jesus that many think they may have been married. I suppose we will never really know, but I personally love the idea of Jesus having been married, because that means that Jesus would also know what it means to struggle in marriage, as so many of us know. And he would know what it means to have to say goodbye to your spouse as you have known. And so it is in the tradition of Mary Magdalene that I pray you will know the love of Christ that comes through intimacy, like a spouse you share your day with, that you walk with, and you come home to at the end of a long day. May Christ be with you. And there's a flower for you too.
Thank you.
Skipper.
Still here.
There's a third Mary, and it is the third Mary today that I lift up is Mary of Bethany, sister of Martha and Lazarus, good friends of Jesus, the home he spent time in. You remember the story where Martha chooses to do, but Mary chooses to be. Where Martha chooses service, Mary chooses to serve through listening, through being, by being completely present to his teachings and his love. Jesus is new to you. What Mary did was to take the place of a disciple, and in doing so came to him with a desire to be with him, a desire to sit with him. That desire lives in an ask. And my prayer for you is that you just ask him to show himself to you. As this is still the beginning of your walk with him, just ask and then sit and be and listen. And then come back and tell me what you've learned, because you have already learned so much. Your wisdom is rooted in your experience, and your wisdom is already cultivated, and I've been the recipient of your wisdom already. So now it's your turn to receive a different kind of wisdom that comes in being, and being with, and possibly falling in love with Jesus Christ. And so it is in the tradition of Mary of Bethany that we welcome you. And so, my three amigos, I now rename you in the tradition of the three Marys. May you be bonded in the love of Jesus Christ as you cultivate and grow within this community of love. And all the people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So in the interest of time, because I recognize we've gone over in our worship, in the interest of time, I didn't tell you much about these three delightful women, but the good news is you've got time to get to know them on your own. And so let us continue now with worship, with our closing hymn, Higher and Higher. So if Harvest Moon was about second love and being in love still with the church through all the ups and downs, and if Give a Little Bit represented what the church does all the time in our reciprocal covenants, Higher and Higher represents what the church can do at its best. So please stand and join in our closing hymn from the 1970s. Your love is lifting me higher. Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Again, your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. So keep it up, quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. Now once I was downhearted, disappointment was my closest friend. But you came and he soon departed, and he never showed his face again. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad I finally found you. You're that one in a million loves. When you wrap your loving arms around me, I can stand up and face the world again. Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. So keep it up, quench my desire, and at your side forevermore again. Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. So keep it up, quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. Last time. Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Please receive the benediction. As you go from this place, go out there, and may you be blessed with the courting of Jesus Christ, who loves you, who desires you, and wants nothing more than you to say at the end of the day, "Aren't I lucky?" Amen. Hi. Hi. Yeah, music needs a little help, don't you think?
I liked it.
Oh, you did?
That Neil Young song.
You liked it?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good.
I'm
good. Oh, good. Well, Charlotte, you're so kind. Thank you for that. Yeah, that was very meaningful.
Thank you for your prayers.
Yes, I continue to. Let me know if I can share it.
Sure.
Okay.
Great.
Hey, thank you. It was a little long. I'm sorry.
No, but I like the,
you know.
Even the shirt trip. That was good. I mean,
it was appropriate, I think. There you go.
Thank you.
You don't want my credit card, do you?
No.
So you came on.
Of course.
He just gave money.